Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Atención ahí a Brahim, se va Brahim de todo, se va Brahim aguantando, encara otra vez Brahim, entrega la pelota para Luca, la juega de tacón, aparece Bellingham, ¡gol! Y ahora sí, vale, no hay lugar a la duda, con el 3-2 al dominado del Barcelona en el alargue del partido, el Madrid no celebra un gol, celebra un título.
No High Liga, welcome to La Liga Lowdown. We've just had the Clásico and Real Madrid have come out on top, meaning the title race is definitively over. I'm your host, Matt Clark, joined by Paco Pollitt from Valencia. Paco, what did you make of that game?
Well, I think that it had many different moments where both sides were trying to play to their strengths and trying to minimize their weaknesses. I don't think that Real Madrid did their best game, but at this point in the season, it's just enough for them to pull it off. And I think that the man of the match was Luka Vázquez for a number of reasons. He was the one in charge of coming down in the box, searching and finally finding that penalty that allowed Real Madrid to level in the first half. Later, he was in charge of scoring the second one and finally assisting to that Jude Bellingham third goal, which polished the game in the extra time. So Lucas Vázquez was one of the highlights for Real Madrid, who, as I said earlier, I think that for around 60-70 minutes didn't really need to kick things into high gear and deliver their 100%. Obviously, some of the players seemed a bit tired after their defending for 120 minutes against Manchester City a few days ago, but as I said, it's more than enough for them, because Barca are just poor at some areas, especially Joao Cancelo had an awful game overall, and Lamine Yamal is just unable to do everything on himself. I think that he was the best player for Barca, but he isn't able to carry on himself, the whole team, at this point in his career. Maybe eventually he will be that kind of player, but he needs a bit of help. And unfortunately for him, even though Fermin was one of the highlights in the second half, he brought in that kind of, you know, aggressiveness, pace. I was a bit disappointed by Joao Felix. I don't know, many things to talk about, but overall, Barca tried and, you know, ultimately died with their own ideas, and they fought till their last breath. But at this moment, with their confidence just blooming, Real Madrid are the fair champions, and they are right to celebrate.
Yep, behind twice in the game, but winning with a last-minute Jude Bellingham goal, just as they did in the reverse fixture at Montjuic earlier in the season. That's now four Clásico victories in a row for Ancelotti's men. And it just certifies the fantastic week Real Madrid have had, Lucas Vázquez in particular. And yeah, we'll get on to Barca in a minute, but they've had a dreadful week. But yeah, Real Madrid, they just find a way, as they did in the midweek in the Champions League. They found a way to stay in the tie and survive it. This one as well, never quite out of it. And as soon as they equalised, you did feel there was only one winner. And yeah, that puts an enormous gap between the two sides in the table. 11 points, unbridgeable, surely, Paco.
Yeah, I think that the league is done. done and dusted at this point. I think that the only thing remaining is just to know the date when Real Madrid will be, you know, mathematically proclaimed as the champions, because, you know, tonight's game was that kind of season capper in both sides. If Barca had been able to win this game, I think that they would have kept things interesting till literally maybe second to last or the last game. But, you know, with Real Madrid winning, they can ultimately coast on their advantage till the end of the season. Six games remaining. The gap is far more than the one that they actually need to win. So I think that, yeah, I mean, in just a couple of weeks, we might already have the champions. Deservedly so, because, again, you said it earlier, they won both games against the Barca. They've been very, very consistent this season. They've managed to get the job done, even when playing not so well, you know, with their ups and downs, with things, you know, going better or worse in the Champions League, ultimately going better for them and suiting their interests. So, yeah, things are going so well for Real Madrid at this point that they are obviously not going to let the La Liga trophy go at this point. Mm.
And as for Barca, then it's been a dreadful week, having had the lead in the Champions League to then lose there, and then leading twice here to keep their title hopes alive. Now that they've got nothing left to play for, they're just hoping to cling on to second spot and finish above Girona. Just 2 points between those sides now. Where do you think it's gone wrong for Barca this season?
Well, I think that when you are playing so close to the line and the difference between success and failure is so thin, eventually, you know, it catches up to you. And in Barca's case, after Xavi stated a few months ago that he was leaving at the end of the season, which is, by the way, something which is not clear at this point, because there are rumors here and there talking about, you know, a potential for rethinking of this statement. From that point onward, it seemed that Barca had lost that kind of pressure and were just playing to see just how far they were able to get. And things went their way for a while, just for a few weeks, winning games in La Liga, getting a good string of results, you know, narrowing the gap with Real Madrid, also moving on to the next round in the Champions League, beating Napoli and so on. But, you know, against PSG and against Real Madrid, which are, in my book, top-tier European sides, obviously top three, top four in the continent, not only because of their current qualifying in the Champions League, but for the things that they've shown in the past, Barca aren't up there yet, at least Xavi's Barca. They don't have the tools to fight in equal conditions to these sides, and I should add maybe Manchester City, maybe Bayern Munich, maybe, you know, other Premier League giants. Barca are just unequipped to this kind of performance, because yes, they might have Lamine Yamal, yes, they might have big names like Lewandowski and Frenkie de Jong, who, by the way, left the game injured with a very, very harsh, strong tackle by Fede Valverde once again. Barca might have the names, but they don't have the gravitas, the performance, the reliance, okay? And I think that's what doomed them, obviously, against PSG, with Mbappé not being the star of the show, but, for example, making Vitinha the MVP of both the games being played, both in Paris and in Barcelona. And also their defense is lacking. I know that there are many culers who really enjoy Joao Cancelo as a player, because he's very, you know, his flair and his style is something very nice to watch when he is on the offense, but in my view, right back or left back has to defend. And in this game tonight, between Real Madrid and Barca, Joao Cancelo was, you know, his defending overall tonight was quite dooming in many ways. And also against PSG. So you ask what went wrong. Obviously not Ter Stegen, obviously not Cubarsí, or, yes, obviously Araujo with that red card and so on, being one man down. but Barca have weak spots which are impossible to hide, whereas Real Madrid are just able to hide them, minimize them, and you know, strengthen even further their strengths. So I think that's the main difference between these two sides at this point, that the winning mentality might be there for both, but Real Madrid actually have the assets in order to proceed, whereas Barca have some weak spots that are just unable to overcome at this point in the season.
Yeah, been showing up in the last week. Well, speaking of screwing everything up, let's talk about the top four race, because Athletic could only draw with Granada on Friday night. So you're thinking Atleti have a great chance now to put some distance between the sides. But then Atleti, the only side not to score this weekend, they go to Mendizorroza and lose 2-0 to Alaves. Great result for Alaves, but Atleti, again, if Barca's week's been bad, this is probably worse.
But again, if you see the game, for example, Barca arguably can state tonight that, for example, the refereeing wasn't gentle to them because of that, you know, very, very controversial goal, which in my view was actually a goal, but the referee decided that it wasn't. And as we don't have in Spain the goal
line
technology, which, by the way, Tebas defended that. It's the first time ever that I see the president of a league just coming out in the Twitterverse and in social media defending the non-existence of a technology which might improve the competition. Wobbly, to say the least. And not the best look of the competition to the outside world. Because you do have Real Madrid in the midst of things. Tebas has stated many times that he's a Madridista, even though he can't stand Florentino Pérez. Florentino Pérez can't stand Javier Tebas. But even with that kind of enmity, you are just the president of the league. You just can't come out that way trying to explain or trying to counter the fact that having the goal line technology in La Liga would improve things. It might not be perfect, but it would surely improve many, many things. For example, there was another goal this weekend, two of them, by the way, in Getafe's game, with a chance just before they were able to level the game, where the ball was clearly inside and the referee just let the game continue without calling the goal. And that would have been damning if ultimately the play hadn't finished in a goal. So Javier Tebas just can't come out in such way and state such relevant statements saying that not having a technology in La Liga is good when it would actually improve the competition. But yeah, leaving that aside, you know, this kind of digression, Atletico deserved to lose because they were worse than Alaves. Full stop, you know, period. And we have to talk about Luis Rioja and the goal that he did score, because Alaves were just better than Atleti, running more than Atleti, thriving more than Atleti, desiring the win more than Atleti, because for them it was one of maybe the biggest win of the season at home. You know, massive 3 points for them, because ultimately, I think just looking up the standings a few minutes ago, with this win, Alaves, 35 points, they break a 3 defeat streak in the last few weeks, and they are plus 10 over the relegation zone with only 18 points left. So Alaves maybe got half of their remaining ticket in La Liga today against Atletico. So that's why they had that kind of desire. And again, Luis Rioja scoring that screamer in the 92nd minute, I think it's one of the obviously the best goal of the weekend, but one of the best goals of the league. If you guys haven't seen it, please, La Liga Lowdown listeners, just check out Luis Rioja's goal against Atletico Madrid, because it's an absolute banger of a goal, and Alaves really, really deserved the win against a very, very poor Atletico Madrid.
Yes, indeed. And it means there's only 3 points between them and Athletic Club ahead of their face-off next week at the Metropolitano. So that still gives Ernesto Valverde's side a chance to finish in that top four. Let's stick with the European race then, Paco, because your side, Valencia, were going into their game with Betis in seventh place, but they fell to defeat Iosi Perez with a brace either side of Pepelu's penalty, meaning Betis came away with a much-needed win for Manuel Pellegrini's side, and they now consolidate well, they go into seventh spot ahead of Valencia. And it's, yeah, it feels like a game Valencia shouldn't or could have done without losing.
Yeah, a step back for Valencia, who were in a very positive streak of results lately. Arguably, even though many people might think that I'm biased for Valencia in this case, arguably Valencia have been quite lucky in the last 3-4 games, especially in those narrow wins, 1-0, 0-1, away from home, you know. Those games were narrow, very, very tight, just going down straight into the line and Valencia ultimately winning them. And they got a nice advantage, a nice boost of confidence. First up, achieving salvation, because that was this season's main goal, stated by both Peter Lim's minions and board of, yeah, because ultimately they are minions. They do they are doing his deeds. So the definition is fair. And the board of direction and so on, they stated that Valencia had to remain in La Liga. That was the top priority. 40 points, 42 points, full stop, period. So after achieving that, it's very tricky to just keep that kind of momentum going forward and try to fight for something further. And that has been 100% the merit for Pipo Baraja and his staff, and also the players, obviously. But again, they are fighting an unfair battle. In the sense that most of the opposition in this race have better squads, are better equipped, have better players, have more quality than Valencia. Betis, for example, just check out the first half and the way Isco played, danced on top of the pitch against Valencia. He did absolutely everything the way he wanted. You know, he bossed the game. And that kind of player is lacking, for example, in Valencia's squad. Betis are enjoying him. Unfortunately, it seems that Luis de la Fuente isn't really keen on trying to bring him into the fold once again and counting on Isco for the upcoming Euro 2024. But at least Beticos are enjoying Isco's best form since maybe 2018, 2019. I don't know. In the last four, five, six seasons, I think Isco has never been playing at this level so consistently. So once Isco's gas ran out in the second half, 15th minute and so on, he was subbed. And from that point onward, Valencia suddenly found themselves with a penalty for them. Pepelu was the one in charge of scoring. And even though that leveled the game, again, it seems that Betis had more weapons at their grasp. And they took advantage of that. They scored the second one. And unfortunately, Valencia just lost that kind of momentum of trying to once again level the game. Mestalla was almost in full capacity and it never works 100%. Mestalla has done awesome this season. Valencia have played very, very well this season for the team that they have. And I think that if the current year is going to be remembered by Girona being the ultimate overachiever, I think that the second spot definitely should go to Valencia, because they have a very lacking squad in many positions and they have been fighting for every single point this year. So even though losing against Betis is a major setback and Villarreal winning also is narrowing the gap between both sides, it's going to be very tough because they are playing against Barca next Monday, by the way, Valencia. But I think that in the first 33 games of the year, 32 games of the year, I have absolutely nothing negative to say about Valencia as a squad and its manager. Mm. I have many bad things to say about the sports direction and the board.
Yeah, sure. Right, we'll leave it there for part one. When we come back, we'll talk about all the rest of the game. So join us in a few moments.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Llega Alberto Moreno, Sorloz espera, gol, gol, Alexander, gol, del Villarreal, sí, sí, acaba de ser papá, sí, sí, y viene con un gol bajo el brazo, otro más, van 15 de Alexander Sorloz.
Welcome back to La Liga Lowdown, match day 32 recap. Let's stick with the European race for now then, because we had some other interesting results. You mentioned already Getafe's game. Real Sociedad again struggling to really seal the deal. Barrenechea scored the opener, but Wamilatasa equalised for Bordalas's side. And equally, Villarreal left it late and needed a red card from Almeria, but Alexander Sorloth got the winner in the 92nd minute down in Andalusia to give Villarreal three crucial points. And as you say, Paco, that brings Villarreal a little bit closer to Valencia and keeps Real Sociedad clinging on to sixth. But again, Betis and Valencia are hunting them down.
A couple of little tidbits of both games. In Villarreal's case, obviously this win is massive for them. Almeria, again, proving whenever playing at home that they're actually a tough team to beat. Whenever you play over at them, they always lose, okay? Or most of the time they lose. But I think that the season that they are, playing is very weird. You know, being so low, being out of the, out of the relegation race so early because they are already doomed since, January or December. With so many changes of coaches, many coaches being sacked here and there, this game is the perfect example of this. And as you said, that red card, I think that isn't going to be nice towards Ramazzani, who was the player who wasn't really nice to the referee when he was sent off. I actually have in front of me the Yeah.
The report, yeah.
The report of the game, the ref report, and I'm not going to actually read out loud what he did say to the referee. If you guys want to read it, you can actually check out my Twitter handle, or you can check out the Spanish Federation's website, which has in detail all of the game reports.
Yeah.
But yeah, he wasn't really nice to the referee, yeah. And I definitely expect Ramazzani to get a 4-game or plus ban for what he did say to the ref. And Sorloth, he was a father of a baby girl last night, and he decided to stay with his team, play the game, score the 92nd winner, and I guess that he's going to be on paternity leave the next few days. But I think that speaks volumes about the way, we did speak about this at the beginning of the season when they were under Setién and later Pacheta and later the kind of sense of belonging that this squad have, the guys in the squad have towards both Villarreal and Marcelino as a manager, because this is something that we did see back in the day with Valencia, and Marcelino has been trying to build that kind of strong inner core of the locker room, of the squad, big players, reference players, the ones who are in charge of, you know, when things go south, be in charge, lead the youngsters. And in this game, you actually have an Elias goal in the first half, which is one of those youngsters, and Sorloth, who is the biggest signing of the season for, at least it was last summer for Villarreal, becoming the franchise player in this case and scoring the goal, which narrows the gap between Villarreal and Valencia and also between Villarreal and European spots. Mm-hmm. I think that ultimately, if Marcelino is able to make Villarreal fight till the end for an European spot after the awful starting of season that they did have, it will have plenty of merit. And leaving that aside, speaking about Getafe Real Sociedad, it was José Bordalás's 250th game as Getafe's manager. We're talking about maybe six full seasons, mostly, right? Something similar. Again, plenty of merit over with that. And Getafe fighting tooth and nail against Real Sociedad, which has as a squad better players. They are better equipped for the European fight, but for some moments of the game, Getafe really did deserve some more. So, yeah, I think they are a bit far of the European fray, but, you know, Getafe having at this point in the competition 32nd match day 40 points.
Yep.
Obviously saved, because they are plus 15 over the drop and only 18 points left to play. I think also speaks very well about how Bordalás has been able to stabilize this club, not only the team, the club overall. He came in a desperate time of need last season. He was able to save Getafe, and this season he's able to do exactly the same, but with his particular and beloved playstyle, and you know, esto es fútbol, papá. So 40 points is great for Getafe fans, who obviously love him.
They certainly do. And yes, just touching on Almeria again, they are 17 points adrift with only 18 to play for. So do the math, guys. They could be relegated as early as next weekend. Almost certainly will be. Three more games then. Celta. Part of the reason why Almeria are completely doomed is that they had a massive 4-1 thumping win over Las Palmas coming from behind. It's Iago Aspas season. He's there again with a brace to save Celta. How many times have we seen this before? He's come to the party yet again to give them that crucial plus six over Cadiz.
Yeah, I think that if you saw the first 15 minutes of the game, you definitely wouldn't expect the outcome. Because Las Palmas were just playing the way they often do, with embellishing their plays, their run, their chances, and so on. Herzog was in charge of scoring the opener. But suddenly, something clicked for Celta in the last stretch of the first half, and it was an absolute bloodbath. With the first couple of goals, Iago Aspas, as you said, and Swedberg scoring the 2-1. And then in the second half, Celta dominated the game because they were just punching harder than Las Palmas, who, by the way, have lost, I believe, 5 in a row. Speaking about how when they felt themselves already safe from a potential drop, their performances also dropped dramatically. So, unfortunately for García Pimienta, they are in the middle of nowhere, I believe. I'm going to check out the standings, but they are just
2 points from the last 8 games, and they've conceded 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Las Palmas, 37 points.
19.
They are plus 12 over the drop, but they are 11 away from European spots. So, yeah, I would say season's over for Las Palmas. I think that they should try to enjoy as much as possible the games being played at in front of their home crowd, because they have deserved to do so. And once again, another great example of a team promoting to La Liga and overperforming. Mm. So we've spoken about Girona, we've spoken about Valencia, even though they didn't promote that season, but they have improved dramatically. And Las Palmas would be my third choice, because their season, even though they have dropped in performance and their dip in results has been dramatic, as I said earlier, their season is quite outstanding if you see only the first 5, 6, 7 months of the competition.
Yeah, they were so impressive in the first kind of two-thirds that this alarming dip isn't going to cost them anything. So, yeah, great news for them. And they face Girona next, who also enjoyed a 4-1 win this weekend, this time over Cadiz. Very comprehensive from Girona, looking good. Well, they guaranteed qualification for Europe in some capacity, which is already an achievement for them. Hmm. And yeah, looking good for top four. There was a nice moment at the end as well. Escalante was having an interview for Cadiz.
Ah, the kid.
Yeah, the kid runs across the pitch and hugs him and he gives him his shirt, and it's a lovely moment. But yeah, Girona thumping 4-1 win again, back to what we've been accustomed to them doing this season.
We definitely need more moments like that one, but unfortunately La Liga is strict rules regarding the, you know, the TV rights and the TV broadcast, and so much security, so many people inside the pitch who aren't actually fans or this kid, for example. And it's very wholesome. And we don't really have that kind of moments in La Liga's grounds because of, you know, such strict policies, which don't really help the end product. But that's, again, a digression on my part. I think Girona's game and Girona's win perfectly encapsulates many of Girona's qualities this season. For example, the fourth goal being scored by Portu, the way he fought for that ball, you know, loose ball, long ball, and narrowly, you know, slipping past the goalie and scoring the fourth. Dobbik, his movements inside the box, great in the third goal, I believe. Proving the quality that he has. Girona's second goal, which is again one of the best ones of not only of the weekend but of the whole season. Ivan Martin, great goal, really really great goal. The way he, you know, came from the wing and finished, and ultimately Eric Garcia, which is obviously a defender. I say that with my how do you say the caps. Like I was Dr. Evil, defender, but he really has many goals being scored this season in his favor. So, and the way they played, and the way they build up the plays, and the way they try to attack always and going forward. Poor Cadiz were, you know, a potential perfect victim for them. And unfortunately for them, they could only, you know, just narrow the gap with that Escalante goal, which, by the way, once again, was a bit controversial. And if La Liga had that kind of line goal or goal line technology, it would improve things quite a lot. So yeah, congratulations to Girona. Massive season, massive achievement, outstanding performance. Michel is the greatest, and the way he's, you know, hailed as Girona's top man, I think that's also quite wholesome to watch. And also to listen every single press conference when he really tries his best to speak Catalan, even though he isn't from Catalonia. So as a, you know, not a native English speaker myself, I really commend him for his efforts, because it's very, very tough. It's actually very, very tough. And, you know, Matt Clark knows what I'm talking about whenever he tries to speak in Spanish and he's not ordering something to eat, to have lunch, or for a beer, or for whatever.
Yeah, it's hard enough speaking in your own language. It's very easy to say the wrong thing a lot of the time.
Very brave. That's the word. Very, very brave.
Yeah, yeah. And last but by no means least, Rayo Vallecano came from behind to beat Osasuna. Two late goals, one from Pep Chavarria, and then Issi Palazón, golazo, the ball Beckham. He done it again. Vallecas was bouncing. Rayo pretty much safe there now. It's looking very tough for Cadiz. So Rayo now 9 points clear of the drop with, yeah, only 18 to go. So you'd think that's probably enough for Rayo. And yeah, fantastic way to end the game from a Rayo perspective.
Yeah, I think that it's interesting to watch how Osasuna were at least one of my own European prospects 1 month ago, and they have only won one of the last five. I think that once Jagoba Arrasate stated that he wasn't to continue next season, it seems like the team has dropped a bit of their own momentum, a bit of their own pace. I don't know, desire. I think it's harsh to say this because ultimately Osasuna, once again, if we speak about overachievers, Osasuna is the overachieving side in the last few seasons, with the way Jagoba Arrasate has managed them, the way players like Ante Budimir, back in the day Chimi Avila, obviously not this season, but last year, the kid coming from the Aymar Oroz, coming from the grassroots system, he also excelled. Braulio Vázquez, obviously, is the sports director. So many things working in favor of them, but it seems like this is the end of an era. And once Jagoba stated that in the press conference that he's leaving this following summer, it seems like the team overall has fizzled a bit. And Rayo took advantage of this. They've won 8 out of the last 12 points, which has propelled them very far away from the relegation zone. You know, it's, as you said, plus 9. But especially the momentum that they have. And checking out the standings and also the games pending, they obviously have a very tough one against Villarreal next week. But they face Almeria at home, Valencia away from home, Granada at home, Athletic at home at the last match day. And, you know, Athletic, I'm not going to bring them down, but they have the biggest hangover ever in the world of sports. After 40 years wanting to once again conquer and touch silverware, they really deserve it. And that's why they have been pretty awful since they won the Copa del Rey final. And I expect Rayo to win against Athletic Club in the last match day. So I think that they have almost 90% of the job done. Only a couple of wins needed to secure the spot once again in La Liga. And also that's quite, you know, important for them and has plenty of merit, because you might remember at the beginning of the season, before bald Beckham once again went back to the basics, Isi Palazón, for a moment there in the first couple of months, it seemed that Rayo might be cannon fodder for relegation zone. But fortunately for them, the change in the bench has worked in favor of them, and it seems that they are going to have a pretty relaxed end of season if they manage to win a couple of these pending games.
Certainly does. Well, that's all the games wrapped up. We've just seen the quotes from Xavi in the press conference, and he's unhappy with the referee. Another news: water is wet, and the Pope is Catholic.
I definitely.
That's all we have time for.
You know, Xavi Hernandez. I'm not really a fan of him being a Llorón, because in my book he cries quite a lot, most of the time, not really in a deserved way, but he has fairly so a few reasons tonight to be angry at the referee, not for specific plays, but maybe for the tendency throughout the whole game. Okay, but regardless, I think that Barca should do better. And Barca's defender should do much better. Xavi should be more worried about that than the referee.
Well, that's it for tonight. That's all we have time for. Thank you, Paco, for your thoughts as ever. Jude decides the Clásico. Hey Jude, no hey Liga. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll be back again in midweek, so please do join us then. Until then, adios.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.